96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's Monday, the 26th of February, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. On that note, today we're talking what's in the news. Later in the week, I have Mr. Link Scavella joining us, and I have Mr. Arnold Rapp Wilson, the archivist, joining us. We're going to talk about the value of documenting our lives and how what may seem mundane and ordinary today may be big news tomorrow. There's lots to talk about in the news. We had an unfortunate homicide this weekend where a father was shot and killed while picking up his daughter to take her to church. The daughter was also shot and injured in the incident. Got a couple of headlines. Government reallocated $30,000 for Wilchcombe's memorial. Today's paper, the Today's Tribune, banned Cinema Slam's film rating demonic content among reasons for blocking screening. But I want to talk a bit before we go there about the crisis on the roads. Now, this was in my main topic, particularly after seeing today's newspapers. But two things happened on the way to the studio. The first is I heard news of a traffic accident involving tourists. And I was, as I was driving here and ordering my thoughts, my morning drive was disrupted by a gentleman driving the wrong way down Chapel Street. Now joining me in studio this morning is Mr. C.A. Newry. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
How does one drive the wrong way on Chapel Street?
Well, isn't Chapel Street one-way street?
It is a one-way street.
Yeah, they do so confidently and belligerently. This morning, he did so confidently and belligerently. I mean, I was actually pleased to see drivers and pedestrians along the route indicating to the gentleman that he's driving the wrong way, he needed to turn around. But again, he brought his bag of belligerence on the road with him, and he insisted that he only going right there. It turns out the only right there he's going to was Market Street. Market Street. What a time. Blue Hill Road, that's where he was heading. Mm-hmm. Blue Hill Road. Mm-hmm. Straight out to the corner. Because mm-hmm. Why should he have to turn around? Mm. It's an indicator of a major crisis on the roads. I want to talk about it briefly. We also had another traffic fatality on the island of Eleuthera. If you remember a few weeks ago, I read an article coming from the One Eleuthera Foundation, and I'm going to read from that. Quote, in 2023, Traffic Division Chief Superintendent David Lockhart and his team shared in a town hall meeting held in Eleuthera that there was a 600% increase in fatalities when comparing 2021 to 2022. In 2021, Eleuthera recorded 73 crashes. In 2022, that number jumped to 117 crashes. We had an unfortunate traffic fatality over the weekend. Man dies in Eleuthera motorcycle crash. Police are investigating a fatal crash on Eleuthera on Sunday that resulted in the death of a 39-year-old man. Initial reports indicate that shortly after 7 a.m. on Queens Highway, Hatchet Bay, the man reportedly lost control of a white and black 650 HP Suzuki dual sport motorcycle and was subsequently thrown from the vehicle, sustaining head trauma. Responding officers arrived and found him in nearby bushes, unresponsive. The local doctor and the medical team on the island visited the scene, examined the victim, and pronounced him deceased. The serious accident reconstruction team from the Traffic Division New Providence will be conducting investigations into this incident. Police encourage all motorcyclists to wear protective helmets when operating any motorized cycle to save their lives. I just want to stick a pin there. I thought it was against traffic controls to operate a motorcycle, a scooter, a dirt bike, a street bike, any motorized bicycle or cycle.
Well, we see in downtown Bay Street, we have motorized vehicles, motorized scooters, whatever that thing is.
And the Segway.
Segway thing.
That the police officers use.
None of them are wearing helmets. The police is not wearing helmets. The tourists who come into the Bahamas are not wearing helmets. And the police is not enforcing the law. So I hear your plea that everyone should be wearing helmets. But if the law is not going to be enforced, that's a choice.
It's not my plea. It's their plea.
It's their plea.
See, I wouldn't be encouraging people to wear helmets. I would remind them that it's against the law to not wear a helmet. Mm. That's what I would do. But see, we have multiple crises on the road. The economy and the efficient and effective movement of goods, people, and services are stunted if we don't get traffic under control. For instance, Mr. Nuri, I was on my way to work this morning and I had to detour because the traffic was backed up all the way to Camp Road. The traffic was backed up on Shirley Street all the way to Camp Road. Now, I know that there is a fire being extinguished, or that was being extinguished at the time that I was heading to work. And I find it incredulous. That's like so incredible you could hardly believe it, if I could like make up a definition of a word. I find it incredulous that when we have incidents that impact traffic, officers are not assigned to provide traffic controls at the intersections impacted. You could imagine that the power is off and the lights are off at Marathon and the East-West Highway and Prince Charles and Robinson Road intersection. Road Traffic Department is over the hill on East-West Highway and nobody sees fit to send officers out to direct traffic when the traffic lights are inoperable. We also have a public health crisis, Mr. Nuri. Personal injury and diminished quality of life due to accidents. Undue stress on public health services. I see in today's paper there is a story where medical professionals, if you look at the Tribune front page, medics fatigued by gun violence. I wonder if you're doing an assessment of how much of the nation's medical resources are consumed dealing with traffic accidents, or worse, dealing with symptoms that are the result of undiagnosed or untreated injury from traffic accidents. We also have an environmental crisis, dumped and abandoned vehicles. I got another story for you. Urban Renewal Project looks to rid Angleston of 600 derelict vehicles. 600 derelict vehicles will be removed from the Ingleston community. The start of a project government officials hope to extend to other constituencies in New Providence. See, we have a problem here. We don't fix cars. We dump them and we buy a new car. We have an environmental crisis on our hands. And then there's the crisis that's the result of the destruction of public and private infrastructure, where it appears as if government and agencies responsible and the insurance industry do not know how to attach responsibility or liability for damaged infrastructure to the people responsible for the accident that damaged the infrastructure. We have another crisis. Lack of enforcement drives lawlessness. See, we have this saying in the Bahamas, if they like it, let them kill themselves. If they want to do foolishness, let them kill themselves. If they want to ignore the law, let them kill themselves. But it's not just themselves that are at risk. The state has a duty of care to protect road users, passengers, and the general public from ignorant, unlicensed. And when I say ignorant, I don't mean like just disgusting. I mean unaware of the rules that govern the operation of motor vehicles. But the state has a duty of care to protect road users, passengers, and the general public from uninsured, unlicensed, ignorant, and reckless drivers, particularly minors who have no control over whether they can get in the car with their mommy or their daddy or their grammy or their uncle who they know disregards traffic controls. You could imagine what it is to be a child in the Bahamas, go into a public school or a private school that focuses on road safety, that has programs to make students aware of their responsibility on the road as pedestrians or cyclists, and also prepares them for when they hit maturity and can get a driver's license to understand the rules of the road. Imagine those children paying attention, getting the lesson, committing to doing the right thing when they become adults, and they're forced to drive every day in cars with and on the roads with people who just wantonly disregard rules implemented for the safety of all road users. We got another crisis, and here's the question. Do we need mandatory driving lessons issued, right, mandatory driving lessons, or are driving schools a part of the problem? Believe it or not, I've witnessed and observed a number of driving school vehicles on the road in the middle of classes, and it's obvious that the driving instructor is encouraging them to break the law. Now, let me rephrase that, because encouraging them to break the law would suggest that the driving instructor is telling them that this is illegal, but here's how you do it. I am under the impression that driving instructors are not making students aware of what the actual laws, rules, and requirements are for operating a motor vehicle. In particular, it's disheartening to watch driving instructors tell their students to drive through a red light on left. It is against the law to turn left on red anywhere that a sign is not present, indicating you could do so. But even if there is a sign present, you are required to come to a complete stop at the red light, assess that the way is clear, that you would not be breaching someone's right of way by entering the intersection. Then we have this thing called the small car phenomenon. I want to take you to another article. 6,000 outstanding drivers' licenses awaiting collection from 2022. This is in Friday's newspapers. The police have said that over 6,000 outstanding driver's licenses are awaiting collection. Superintendent Karan Jennings, second in command of the RPPF Traffic Division, encouraged motorists to collect their outstanding driver's license. He noted the importance of motorists having a driver's license in their possession while highlighting the penalties for failing to adhere to road traffic laws. Quote, once an officer would stop you and inquire as to whether you have a driver's license in your possession, it is mandated that you present a driver's license ID to the officer. And if you don't have a driver's license, you could be ticketed, and the fine for that ticket is $250. Now, if you have a driver's license and it is not in your possession, the fine will be a lesser fine, which is $40. Chief Superintendent Eugene Strawn, officer in charge of the Road Traffic Division, noted an alarming concern for Japanese cars being major contributors to traffic accidents. I call it the small car phenomenon, Mr. Nuri. You know what it is? When you have a big car, you probably have a big loan. And when you have a big loan, you have to go and speak to your bank manager every month. Now, you may not go in person. You may just send the money. You may just send the loan payment, the car note, to the bank manager. But either way, you got a big car, you got a big loan, you got to go to the bank every month. Going to the bank every month, knowing that you have to go to the bank every month, moderates your behavior. And so people who have to go see the bank manager every month to talk about their car tend to moderate their behavior when they're driving on the road. But if you know, you could jump up and fine $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 and have a car landed within a matter of months, you have a different attitude about life. I've driven with some of you. I've driven next to some of you. And you say things like, child, you hit this car. I done pay for this. And you have to pay me again. Let me just say, when you live in a place where you could die from a paper cut because of dysfunctional services in the public health care system, you should not be taking those types of risks with your life or anybody else's life. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there? Caller, where you going? I was just talking to the producer.
But I know before we transition.
Yeah.
Right? I am deeply concerned that basically a year later, 2 years later, and we have yet to address this no turning.
Left on red?
Yeah.
When you say
what does it mean if nobody has addressed it? What does that mean?
It means we have a crisis in enforcement, and we have an administrative crisis. Most importantly, because those in charge cannot realize, right? They can't compute. They don't get it, that it is their actions at the top that drive lawlessness. Let's go to the phone line dead quick. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, wonderful. A godly day to you and, of course, the universe.
Yes, sir. Blessings.
We need justice, law, and order in this country, the Bahamas. Aaron, the police and those need to...
Bremen? Oh, man, I'm sorry, Bremen. I lost you. In that note, Mr. Nuri, let me go to the text line just for a second. Good morning. If I had a penny for the amount of persons that don't use signals, I'd be a rich woman. Why is it so hard to signal? The thing is right there at your hands, man. And let me tell you what it is. It's that they don't think that you deserve a signal. I can be honest with you. It's because they don't think you need a signal. See, I do read minds, you know. I could tell what it is you're about to do on the road. But if I do that, then you can say you think you smart, eh? But you don't have to be smart to be able to predict what people are going to do on the road. In fact, it's a requirement for driving a vehicle that you can predict what people are about to do on the road. Another text, how about changing the law to only allow cars 7 years or newer to be imported in the country? Right now it's 10. That will slow down the amount of cars being imported, I think. Okay. Good idea, except then you have now an imbalance. Who could afford to bring in a car, right? But I like, you know, 7 from 10, 3 years. I think that's a reasonable increase in prices, right? But the question is, can we put a moratorium on how many cars can be imported per year? Does a car user have to show that their previous car has been disposed of properly before they can import a new car? Right? Is that what we may need to think about? Another text: persons drive wrong way on one-way streets very often and curse at you when you try to correct them. Listen, there is a road coming out of from Big Pond to go to Portiski. You know the Pink Plaza? There's the corner on the western side, on the eastern side of Family Guardian, right between Family Guardian and the nightclub. Then you drive up, and then the next road leading onto Bay Street from the southern side, coming out of the Pink Plaza, is a one-way. But guess what? That road doesn't lead out. You can only turn into that road from Bay Street. However, people attempting to get to Portiski Dock, especially if it's a big boat day and traffic is blocked up beyond west, beyond the new bridge, people will regularly drive the wrong way down that one-way road and then end up blocking eastbound traffic. So you got three lanes of traffic at one point, one lane to take you directly onto Portiski and two lanes to continue east on Bay Street. Well, those drivers will come the wrong way out of that corner, and they will block the road. So even if you had the good sense to get in the right lane to avoid the bridge traffic, oftentimes you will get blocked by a vehicle that's not only coming the wrong way out of a corner, but obstructing two lanes of traffic. And I wondered to myself, why is it if that's happening regularly that police can't post themselves there? If not to issue fines, to act as a deterrent. Same thing for Mackey Street and Shirley Street. But yeah, Mr. Nuri, we got lots to talk about, so let me go through this list quickly because the crises unfold. There's the small car phenomenon, right? And then there's the big truck phenomenon. So there are people in small cars whose cars are totally paid off. They have a different attitude than other drivers. And then there are people in small cars because small cars are used by the rental companies, which is another layer, right, of disregard. So not only do I not have to go see the bank manager, I don't even own this car. I don't even have to worry about it. I don't own the car. And it gets even better because in many instances, somebody with a license is renting a car for somebody without a license. And so there's somebody in that small vehicle that's saying, my name ain't even on this car. I could do what I want in it. But that bucks up against the big truck phenomenon, where we had a whole year of introducing the country to a commercial driver's license certification for the drivers of large vehicles or large vehicles towing items. But we still have people who are now supposed to be extra certified. They're supposed to be better drivers than everybody else on the road. And it appears as if many of them think their CDL license warrants them to ignore traffic controls. I'm a big truck. I'm not going to stop at this light. I'm a big truck. I don't care where you are on the roundabout. I'm a big truck, and you see me using my cell phone. How you expect me to drive this big truck, use my cell phone, and come to a complete stop at the red light? I'm actually flabbergasted because the introduction of the CDL certification was to improve safety on the road, not to make it more dangerous. Then there's this little thing about cultural imperialism. When did owning a Honda, a Beamer, a Benz, or a truck with a supercharged Hemi become a part of the Bahamian dream? And on what roads do you drive these high-end vehicles? York Street. Somebody say every day on York Street. Now, see, we got another phenomenon, Mr. Nuri, because we always forget the tourists. Somehow, we expect tourists to know where they're going. We expect somebody that came off a boat this morning, rented a car by 10 a.m., given license to drive all over New Providence. Not only are there not street signs, how many signs do we have indicating what direction the street runs in? How many signs do we have indicating this actually, you're actually supposed to stop here? And I get it. I could imagine what the police and people at Ministry of Works are saying. They say, well, we have stop sign and the people won't stop. In fact, it's become such a practice, you ever driving and you realize the police just driving on autopilot because they just doing what everybody around them doing? Let me tell you how disheartening it is to see a police vehicle come up to the stop sign at Sands Road in front of the accident and emergency, and they don't stop. They just roll through the stop sign like all the other drivers. Or at Collins Avenue and Shirley Street. And let me say once again, what is the karma? What is your heavenly reward for running a stop sign next to a hospital that the vast majority of people on the road cannot afford to get health care in? We can't forget about the tourists, Mr. Newry, because there was an accident, a bad accident involving tourists this weekend. I'm going to pull it up right now. I just got a short note from local papers first thing this morning, and I'm not sure if I see that story in the newspaper yet. But here it is. I'm pulling it up right now. The excerpt that I found did not indicate where the accident occurred. Vehicle goes up in flames in tourist-involved accident. A SUV with six tourists collided with a Honda Fit hidden electrical transformer after they reportedly refused to give way at a roundabout. The tourists were able to escape the burning vehicle while the driver of the other vehicle received a laceration to the head. Now, I saw a video of the aftermath of that accident, and I wonder, when you say SUV, what do you mean? Because it looked like a tour jeep. It looked like an open-sided tour jeep that these tourists were driving in. And so the question is on the table. Do we need to mandate that all tour vehicles, all open jeeps, all non-traditional cars must be driven by a tour guide? Because it's likely that it is likely that if the tourists are responsible for the accident, they're just doing what they see everybody else do. And so perhaps a thought about the tourists will drive the Ministry of Tourism, pun intended, to take up the charge, pun intended, like a supercharged Hemi, of ensuring that the ministry responsible, Ministry of Energy and Transport, can make the roads safer for tourists, and maybe Bahamians could benefit from that. A couple of texts. Aaron, please don't forget, every person importing a vehicle must pay an environmental levy. So this shouldn't be a problem since funds have been allocated for this. Or is this only a public pacifier and will fall in that deep hole of the consolidation fund? Another text, we go to the phone line producer. Aaron, just because you are able to afford a big-time car does not give you the right to bash people who are only able to afford a $3,000 car to get themselves and their family from point A to point B in this already expensive place. Y'all love to keep people down in this country. I see that you like to do that, sir. I drive a car because my mother was frightened to death that as a pedestrian, I would be the victim of a hit and run. You know, the kind where you just hit people, you know you hit them, and then you drive off and pretend like you don't know what happened? After a friend of hers relayed to her a story about how I was walking to work one day, and a woman put her window down and decided to cuss me, stink, for walking on the side of the road. And when I approached the car again, because of course she was in traffic and couldn't get far, I said to her, how sway of you to cuss me like that with your child in the back seat with the window down listening to you and your complete disregard for road safety. And after that incident, my mother's like, I don't care that you want to be a pedestrian as a political statement. So I, like many people in this country, cannot afford to buy a big-time car. You know what I'm saying? But this has nothing to do with people who can only afford a $3,000 car. Texter. Because many of you who can afford big cars are a part of the problem. Many of you drive like your insurance could save Bahamian lives. Good morning, caller.
Mr. Neri.
Morning. How you do?
Fine, thank you. And I'm happy you touch on the road. I had an opportunity on Saturday to participate in the War for Cure for the Cancer Society.
Awesome.
The walk.
Yes, sir.
Yes. And the walk was from the Cancer Society, Shirley Street, the East Street, the Bay Street, the Market Street, and back. And I must, you know, say that all of those sidewalks on Shirley Street and Bay Street, mm-hmm. just in front of me Street, they're in poor condition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of them need major, major work.
Yes.
You know, there are so many uneven surface, you know, and that is a safety issue.
Yes, sir.
The Ministry of Work need to pay an urgent attention to those sidewalks because, you know, people walks, you know, they traverse that towards corner daily. Also, the tourists walk from downtown to Palace Island and to the Queen's Staircase,
mm-hmm.
Shirley Street.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a safety issue. Minister Wick needs to pay urgent attention to that.
Listen,
also,
yes,
there's the sidewalk opposite the new Sydney Bridge. They have some garbage installed there, the garbage bins installed there. Most of those garbage are overfilled. There are a lot of debris on almost covered the sidewalk opposite the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Roseland Park, they need to send a crew there almost just but immediately. No, Don, you only get to see how bad it is when you actually have to walk the route.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Because, you know, who do people turn to if somebody fell, then the concrete or the road is not even, you know, to get a broken bone, you know?
Yep.
Who now, you know? Who do you turn to for
recourse?
Recourse, yes. You know, it's terrible. The government needs to pay big attention downtown, during downtown Shirley Street, you know, because they have a lot of fun run walk there as well. Not only for the tourists, you know, for the people as well.
And the disabled people who can afford a motorized wheelchair or a regular wheelchair could afford to be mobile but can't be because the sidewalks are cracked up and damaged.
And then the police were telling you to go on the sidewalk, but, you know, sidewalks unsafe, you know?
There you go. Thank
Many
you.
Many of them are cracked up. Okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you.
We also have another crisis. I think I call it an educational crisis, and I'm not being flippant. I'm being serious here, where people think that sidewalks are built for people to park their cars on. That's the music. When we get back from the break, I just want to mention this new organization I found, the Healthy Bahamas Coalition. Did you hear about them?
No, never.
Absolutely. We'll just touch on that briefly when we get back from the break, and then we're going to transition quickly to a couple of stories. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back.
It's that time of year to join the movement. It's time for the annual Guardian Media's Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Fair, Saturday, March 2nd at the Mall of Marathon, starting at 10 a.m. Admission is free. Come and receive free health screenings by the walk-in clinic, fantastic product info, and sound financial advice. Participate in the exercise demonstrations by Natasha Brown, Outdoor Fitness Bahamas, and RF Exposure. There will also be a CPR demonstration by Superior Care, plus live performances by Blondie, Johnny Cake, Shine, and Carrington McKenzie, ending with a Saxon superstar Junkanoo Rush Out. Join the movement. It's the annual Nassau Guardians Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Fair, Saturday, March 2nd at the Mall of Marathon.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Two to On the Clock with Erin Green. Joining me is Mr. Newry. I got another taxi I want to read quickly. I don't know about the generalizations. I have a small car and I am not looking for someone to hit it. While it was cheaper to purchase, for me it was an investment. Now I'm free to use my money towards another investment. I'm not looking to replace a car every year because it's possible, and I want this car to stay looking like a new car for as long as possible. I also don't know about 7 years being an indicator of quality. I kept a car for 15 years that was like brand new. Dear Texter, while I explain the small car phenomenon, what's inherent in the phenomenon is that not all small car drivers or owners are going to behave that way, but the vast majority of them do behave that way. Another text, morning, the CDL was a tax collection thing. Another text, Erin, the biggest problem we are having is the parking in our handicapped space. No respect. And I want to say from the top that people are behaving exactly how you would expect them to behave given the way that the change in laws, policies, and protocols was laid out. This will require the government setting the standard and incentivizing private sector businesses to provide the staff to enforce these policies. It also leads me back to one of my earlier points. Lack of enforcement drives lawlessness. You would be surprised who the people are that are cussing out security officers for asking them not to park in disabled parking spots. You would be surprised who the people are who are disregarding the no parking signs posted immediately in front of the spot, and they still park their cars there. You would be surprised at where the 3 score and 10 gang is this morning. Good morning. When the government invests in sidewalks, most who complain and will say people can't eat sidewalks, and they will say the government wasting money. Can't please every Bahamian. But what you can do is you could satisfy the law. You can satisfy the law, though. And since we are no longer a plantation, you as a citizen have the power to advocate for changes in law and policy. Sidewalks are for people who cannot afford cars. Sidewalks are for people who have to walk their children to school. Sidewalks are for children who have to walk themselves to school. Sidewalks are for people who have to carry their groceries home in their arms. Sidewalks are not for you to park your fancy car or your mid-range, but I'm taking care of it very well, car, and I'm not speaking to you, Texter, on the sidewalk. I want to say good morning to QC parents, many of which are my fellow graduates. Let's stop parking on the sidewalks outside of QC and all other establishments. So yeah, Mr. Newry, of all of that, the last crisis, well, for me, it's a personal crisis. I'm tired of seeing people die on the road. I've had the unfortunate experience of watching someone crash and die in front of my eyes. In fact, that person almost crashed into me and then crashed into a wall and died right in front of me. I've also had the misfortune of holding a victim of a hit-and-run accident in my arms in the road as drivers drove by far too close to us, including police officers, as they ignored the scene in the road. So for many people, this is a personal crisis where they are tired, frustrated, watching people that they love and know become injured, experience injuries that are irreparable, you know, damage to their bodies that is irreparable. You cannot fix it. Good morning, caller. You got 30 seconds. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Morning, sir.
Yeah, I just reached back in the shop. I was prompted to call. You know, Ms. Green, if they're doing it on the outskirts, what do you mean by the inner city?
Oh, my buddy. Oh, my friend.
Hello?
I'm right here. I hear you.
Yeah, listen. So I was thinking, you know, because I'm a cyclist and I enjoy it. As a matter of fact, you know, I urge the public to really educate themselves about the how expensive some bicycles are, and they just take it for a joke. I see some for $6,000 a year. I have one cost more than that, okay? Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is they don't understand the price of these bicycles. I hate to say what it costs, but just bear in mind people's lives and show respect, because big time people look at they will run over you. Even I was heading north the other day getting ready to go to the steps. There was a group of SWAT team pulling out. So I saw the guy, he made the squawk walk, so I let out the first two. But I was ever moving, so I didn't know it was an urgency, but the guys didn't even want to stop to let me pass, even though I was in forward motion. And so he wanted to run over me as I was in the front of the Jeep passing. It only takes a split second for a cyclist to pass, but he, in his drunken power of whatever, he my life values nothing to him. So a parking, I have actually got into arguments with business owners who park on the sidewalks. And so my question then becomes, right, listen, please. Where is a cycle lane in Nassau? Because I ride my bicycle in the middle of the road with these what? Ms. Green, you trying to tell me now a cyclist should be riding in the middle of the road with these narrow lanes and the real people riding northbound and southbound on Blue Road? I trying to find out where's the lane for the cyclist. And everybody's obese and overweight when you compare it to cities like in Europe where everybody rides a bicycle. So, I mean, what's going on? Bicycle is a way to, you don't understand? It's a joy for some people.
Absolutely.
I spent about $700 just to get out of the cycles unlimited. So you think I want people to see me as some dog on the road where my life has no value? We need to wake up.
Yep.
We have become drunken with power and foolish. Give thanks.
Absolutely. And that's a part of the reason why people who should not be driving are driving. Because they've experienced that, like I've experienced it, where society renders you a lesser person, less valuable because you ain't got no car. If you wanted to be safe, you'd have a car. Anybody know why you walk in? We know why they walk in. They walk in because they cannot afford a car. It's as simple as that, but they still have to live and go to work. Another element, we got a crisis, public transportation. I reckon that 75% of drivers should not be driving.
What does it mean when government does not address these things?
That we have an administrative crisis, and the administrative crisis is responsible for the unfolding crises. A couple more texts. Noise pollution has increased caused by unnecessary use of police sirens. It feels like a police state and increase the fear of crime. The point I was going to make with 52's commentary is that the police forget that we are not required by law to yield for a horn. Police vehicles are supposed to have sirens. People are trained and informed by the booklet that you yield for sirens. Now, mind you, you have a responsibility of a driver to know, as a driver to know what's going on around you 360 degrees. Mm-hmm. You should use your side view mirrors and your rear view mirrors to determine who is blowing the horn and whether you do, in fact, need to yield. But let's start at the beginning. Police vehicles are supposed to have sirens. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Not yet.
Yeah, morning.
Speaking to me, Ms. Green, I'm on?
Yes, you on.
Okay. I don't agree with the 10-year car deal. My car is 24 years old.
Mm-hmm.
People stop me every day to buy my car. Mm-hmm. I have a 2000 Camry.
Nice,
okay. Uh-huh. Wow.
And so this 10 years, it depends on how you keep your car and how you drive it.
Yes.
Because the smaller cars on the road, they wouldn't last half as long as
older car. Yeah.
Yeah.
A car built differently. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you, dear. Okay.
Absolutely. Let's go to the next call quickly. Good morning, caller.
Hey, Aaron. Hey, C.A.
Hey, how you doing?
Right here. The only thing for me, you're talking about roads,
mm-hmm.
is I would like to see the removal of these painted bus stops in the middle of the lane instead of, with the road construction. They should be able to put the new road construction in particular, any of them. They
mm-hmm.
should have pull-off lanes where these buses pull on the side of the road. And not stop in the middle of a traveling, what we call a travel lane,
mm-hmm.
Blocking up traffic. That is a big contention out here on the streets. I mean, whoever introduced that here, I mean, I don't know what they were thinking about, because it's already dangerous enough to drive on these streets.
Mm-hmm.
Have a bus to stop in the middle of a lane, especially one lane going up, one lane coming down. To have that bus stop in the lane, it creates a traffic congestion. And everyone seems as if they're scared to overtake the bus, because you don't know whether the person coming off the bus is walking in front of the bus
mm-hmm.
or walking to the back of the bus. So that's a bone of contention out here for road users. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just want to make a point. Whoever is parking the Jitney JN0373 on the curve in the road immediately opposite the restaurant Wild Time, to the east of the Harbor Bay Plaza, That's not a parking area. Not only that, you don't even attempt to pull your bus entirely off the road. That is the spot where I watched a man kill himself and almost kill me. And that's not the first jitney to be parked there. And so I'm wondering what's happening. Is somebody running a tour excursion and can't find a place to pay for parking or to park for free? So they decide that they're going to risk the lives of thousands of Bahamians every day. Mr. Newry, your guest coming?
No.
Okay, so we could maybe talk about some of those other stories in your hour.
Yeah, man, I have a list of things.
I got a ton of texts I want to read through.
Go ahead.
Aaron, we as Bahamians need to stop getting offended about our truths. I've had many near-miss accidents over the past 5 years, and in every incident, the vehicle was those little cars who were either jumping the light, pull out suddenly in front of me, overtake, and scrape other vehicles and near-miss knocking down a pedestrian. Something must be done with the reckless drivers of these little cars. Yes, and reckless drivers generally, because there's another phenomenon called a fat wallet phenomenon where people feel they think that they have enough money to solve this problem that they cause. Another phenomenon, it appears as if y'all don't know that it's now against the law to drive with your cell phone in your hand, to drive while using your cell phone. You know, if you have it in your hand and you're not using it, it's against the law. It's against the law to use it while you're driving. There's also a charge called driving without due care and attention. For those people that drive with headphones in their ears, I need y'all to really consider life. I need y'all to stop for a moment and think and understand that telling me, oh, I don't have it on, is not a reasonable response. Because somebody's going to call you and at some point it's going to be on. Right? Just the idea that you would drive with headphones in, that you would reduce your or diminish your ability to hear what is happening around you while you are driving is madness. I actually see another phenomenon, small cars that drive at 10 miles an hour. The cars I see acting recklessly are the souped up 2023 models with the nice rims and the big trucks and SUVs that believe they can throw their weight around. Based on your account and my account, it leads me to believe that the car isn't the culprit. No, the car itself isn't the culprit. It's the attitude of the person behind the car. Right? We also have this amazing phenomenon that's developed where people no longer think they're required to stop at stop signs. Producer, let's go to this next call. This is out of control. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Aaron. Great show.
Thank you.
I'm the lady with the juju.
Yes, ma'am.
Good day. But what I'm calling about to report a jitney driver, I was driving along Carmichael Road, and jitney number 16, I got the license plate number, JN0562. He actually stopped under the traffic light by Fate Avenue to take on passengers and let passengers on when it was time for the traffic to go. And he left traffic very long right there. That's JN0562, number 16.
Absolutely. Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
A lack of enforcement drives lawlessness. Now, Mr. Newry, I was mentioning the Healthy Bahamas Coalition. The Healthy Bahamas Coalition serves as the National Non-Communicable Diseases Commission. It's established by the Cabinet of the Bahamas government. It's located within the Ministry of Health, and the coalition provides advice to government on non-communicable disease legislation, policy, regulations, programs. They advocate, they're an advocacy agent. They provide monitoring and evaluation services, health promotion, and communication for health. The way I found them is that somebody shared a flyer with road safety tips about driving through the yellow light. So here I am thinking the government's not doing anything. Agencies are doing something, but there's no coordinating mechanism to bring what they're doing to the public in a consolidated way. They have tips about not driving with your cell phone in your hand. They have tips about how the yellow light works. Did you know that the yellow light is an indicator, or the orange light is an indicator to you that the light's about to turn red? And if you cannot cross the intersection before the light turns red, you should stop at the red light. Prepare to be stopped in where you are at the red light. That the orange light don't mean go fast. It don't mean scooch out now. It means The light's about to change. Another text. We as people have little to no regard for other road users. Just the other day, this male had his car parked in the middle of the road, so several cars had to go around him, one of which almost hit an oncoming car. So when it was my turn to go around him, I simply asked him why he feels it okay to park in the middle of the road. His reply was, I run out of gas. So I said, why don't you turn on your hazard lights, or better yet, push on the side? He cursed me out as if, who am I to suggest that? P.S. That was a Japanese car, right? Like a little small car. A little small car where you could put the seatbelt around your shoulder and push the car out of the road yourself while still holding the steering wheel. I know, because I've done it before. We have a phenomenon where people think that it is actually safer to drive at 7 miles an hour on the highway because they're using their cell phone and they don't want to cause an accident than actually not using your cell phone while you're driving. We also, coming right now, producer, I hear you. We also have another phenomenon where the drivers of corporate vehicles think that they are immune from prosecution. Driving with their cell phone in their hand, no seatbelt on, ignoring red lights and stop signs, with the name of the company that they work for boldly printed on the vehicle they're driving. The show today was brought to you by the car of professional young people who on Friday had Village Road northbound blocked up as they attempted to cross from a parking lot on the side of the southbound lane across three lanes of traffic to the northbound lane. Dear young professional people, just remember, you take that same critical thinking into every space you go in, including the professional world. Thank you for inspiring the show today, including the gentleman who found his way driving the wrong way on Chapel Street and refused to turn around. You guys, be safe out there. It's a matter of life and death. Thank you for tuning into On the Clock with Erin Green. C.A. Newry and Guardian Radio AM is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.